welcome to an all-new episode of Social Blend. This episode I'm so excited for, and I'll tell you why in just a second, but I have some news to say, some special news. Right now I'm in my room. I have a desk in front of me. I have a little sign that says Social Blend, and I have a microphone. But starting in 2020, I am getting my own studio. And I'm not telling you what it really is because it's just a closet. But anyway, today I have a very special guest. I have known her for many, many years. And I'm so excited to have her on. It is my friend Jackie, and she is in her master's for clinical mental health counseling, and I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to be here.
All right, so I guess tell us a little bit about yourself.
About
I know, so I didn't say this before. We were
well.
I just threw her under the bus. I'm like, talk.
So I have been in school for what it seems like forever. But it's been about 2 years. I'll graduate in December with my license. Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm currently working at a psychiatric day program for individuals with multiple disorders, but also individuals that live with Down syndrome as well. So it's a good experience. I'm really liking it. I like the population.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of floating.
Floating through.
Floating along.
Yeah. You probably cannot wait until December comes.
Yes, I am done.
Yeah.
Not only studying.
Is it Christmas, but also you get that.
It's the big celebration.
It's over.
Christmas is nothing at this point.
Yeah, it's nothing.
That's my Christmas.
Yeah. So I have Jackie on today. We're going to talk about a lot regarding mental health stigma and how to normalize it. It's fine. She literally just kicked the desk. This is why I need my own studio. Like, everything is collapsing around us. Her chair she's sitting on is made out of, like, cardboard. I told her before we started, like, get ready because it's on its last leg and it's about to fall.
I'm honored. I am. I hope I fall.
So, should we just get right into it? Okay, wait. So actually, let me ask you this, if you're okay with answering it.
Yeah.
So what made you go take this path into psychology?
So, it definitely was because of, like, the things that I went through, being younger and, you know, as far as college, I went through, a traumatic experience, and what's important about things like this is that you conquer the trauma before you discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you conquer the trauma, it really helps you advocate for others who are too afraid to talk about it or are too afraid to come forward. So when I was in college, I actually was a victim of sexual assault in my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it obviously took quite a while to, like, rebuild myself, but then I realized I wanted to help those who were in my position, because I wanted someone to relate to, because I was so tired of always hearing, oh, I know how you feel, I know what you're going through, and I just wanted to be that level of support for others. So that, I think, probably was the biggest reason why I went into it. But then after I made that decision that I wanted to be a counselor, everything just kind of seemed to be, like, falling into place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as my job, I was getting validation there that, like, this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I think that definitely is a big reason.
That's awesome. Honestly, that is why I also took psychology for school, because after high school, I just went through, like, I don't know exactly what it was, but I think it was a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
And it's, like, severe depression. Like, I don't remember 2 years of my...
It was just, like, foggy.
Fog.
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like it went by so fast, but no, it's because I don't remember shit about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is this? Music just started playing in my ears. So, anyway, Yeah, so like after that, like it was like it turned into severe depression, anxiety, all this stuff. And it was for me to kind of tell myself, like, when are you going to start the process of rebuilding yourself up? And after I was able to, like you said, now all of a sudden it's like, I want to tell people that, like,
you're not alone.
You're not alone. Yeah. Like, this happens. And I know you're quiet about it right now, but once you get out of it, you're going to be a whole new person.
Yeah.
So that's like, that's so crazy that like it was the same.
It's so important.
Yeah, it is.
Because then, I know that like I needed that person at that time and I didn't have it.
Exactly.
And it made it so much harder.
Exactly. And like we were talking about before we recorded, we come from two Italian American homes and mental health is not talked about.
No.
It's very like, okay, like you'll get through it. Relax.
Right.
Like
right.
Stop being a baby.
Is that like what you experienced when you were going?
Yeah, well, it was honestly like for my family, it was like we just didn't talk about it.
Right.
Like you're just going to go hide in your room and that's it. Like we're not going to talk about it. Not saying that no one cared.
Right.
They didn't know how to approach it.
Right.
They were scared to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what happened to me. It wasn't like for my family, it wasn't like, oh, you're overreacting or this.
Right.
When, you know, I would say something, but they just. No one knew.
Didn't know how to support you,
how do you
in that moment.
Yeah, yeah, how do you do that? So that's when I kind of took it upon myself to say, I have to fix myself to try to fix the rest of
what I have going on.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. And culture is such a big part of the stigma of mental health. Mm-hmm. And it plays such a large role for people who, like you and I, I don't want to say we didn't have anyone because we have very supportive families
and very supportive
friends. But
when it came
yourself,
to that,
right. It's like you said, being in an Italian family, you don't talk about your emotions, especially if you're a male.
Yes.
You're supposed to be the strong person, the head of the household underneath your dad.
Yeah.
And the minute that you show
any
type of emotion, you know, it's. I don't want to say it's not acceptable, but...
But it's kind of like, what's going on?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
But I don't want to get into it.
Like, exactly.
What's going on, but I don't want to get
into
it. Just fix it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's no one's fault. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just what we were taught.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it's just such... like we were saying, like the stigma of it, like mental health, like scared to talk about it, like... Like, what do you say in this, like, moment? How do you help somebody? Like, nobody knew. Like,
right.
No. So that's why, like, I'm happy. It's weird. Like, I'm happy it happened to me because now I know for my family, for my siblings.
Absolutely.
For their relationships that they're in. I know how to help now. I know myself. And, like, for me, it was all self-help. Mm-hmm. I helped myself.
Yeah.
I didn't go to anybody, and that's also something we'll talk about with therapy.
Yeah.
I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared to tell somebody that I think I need help. You know, like...
Was it just saying, like, the word depression that turned you off?
Yeah. I couldn't even say,
But
until...
you can go to a doctor and say, like, my stomach hurts.
Yes.
My knee hurts.
Yes. I know. It was the whole thing about saying, like, I'm depressed... I feel like I'm garbage.
Right.
So I took it out on food.
Mm-hmm.
I gained so much weight. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, I just ate all my feelings up.
Mm-hmm.
So after, you know, doing all that, and, you know, getting through it and not saying that it's over.
Right.
But.
You're still working.
Still working on it. But now I control it. So that's like an awesome thing.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, this is why I'm doing this.
No,
this is why I do this podcast, because
that's awesome.
If I could just talk about it and make it normal to people,
right.
Like that's
then more
what...
people would probably get the help that they
exactly.
need. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, also what's the goal for you? So is your goal to like, what do you want to like, what's the end goal?
That's hard because there's so many things that, like, I want to advocate for and I want to change.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you don't want to pick too many goals.
Yeah.
Because then you're not being realistic with yourself. ultimate goal, because I want to eventually work with people who have committed rape or sexual assault. Okay. I want to work with not the victims, but the perpetrators. Is that the word? The attacker?
Okay. Yeah, the attacker.
That's illegal stuff. I don't know. The people who did the act. Yes,
yeah.
I want to eventually work with them because my goal with that is that I want to prevent it from happening to someone else. The most important thing being a therapist and being a counselor is that you also need to understand that you can't fix everything.
Yeah.
You can't fix everybody's problems. And like for some people, they do feel empathy for what they did.
Yeah.
Other people, they don't feel empathy.
Nope.
And with those types of people, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. But with the stuff that I went through and just seeing how big it is today and how many people are coming forward with sexual assault today, it's something that I definitely really, really want to work with.
Now, I feel like with therapy and, you know, like I told you, therapy for me was something that was like, oh, no, no, I'm good. I'm good. Like, I don't, like, no, I don't need it. Now, I feel like we're in such a point in society that we need therapy more than ever. Like,
yes.
I feel like so, like, people have so much to say and they don't say it, and it just builds up and builds up and builds up until one day they blow.
It's
like, it's crazy. So, like, for you who is studying all this, how do we normalize,
like, get rid of the stigma?
Yes. Like, what's your take on it?
You talk about it. You talk about it as much as you possibly can. Obviously, be running down, you know, Raider Road saying all of your traumatic experiences. You normalize it in the best way that you possibly can. You don't make it seem uncomfortable to tell someone, you know what, I'm not feeling okay today. I'm not feeling good today.
Yeah.
Just starting with that, you know, and not necessarily starting with, I have depression. I am depressed, because not everyone is going to be at that level that you're at. So just talking about it. And also for those who don't understand it, to educate, provide education on what mental illness is, how it affects the neurotransmitters in our brain. Because for some of us, you don't necessarily have to go through something so traumatic and awful in order to have a mental illness.
No, that was me. I literally slipped into it. It wasn't like something traumatic happened to me. And that's why, like, we have to normalize it. Because somebody recently was talking about mental health in a bad way. And saying that, like, you know, these kids nowadays, they have to grow up. And I was just like, oh my God, you don't understand it, because you're probably suffering.
And depression especially is so stigmatized because it's so important that, like I said, you provide education to what depression does to you and what it looks like. Like, you may say, oh my God, just get out of bed. It's not that hard. Get out of bed. Getting out of bed could potentially be the hardest thing that that person has to do that day. Opening up their eyes might even be the hardest thing that they have to do that day. So if you see someone struggling, even though that everyone says today that everyone's so sensitive, everyone always has something to complain about, just try and put yourself in that person's shoes and say, you know what, George has been kind of, you know, off lately. Maybe I won't say, why is it taking you so long to get out of bed? But George, is everything going okay? I've noticed that you haven't been getting out of bed the same way that you usually do. And especially from the support of your friends as well is really important. Because I know for me, when I was going through something, my friends were the first thing that I went to. And I know that if, like, you or anyone in our high school shut me down and I was dealing with something, I wasn't going to open up again. Because you're so turned off from it. And that is really what kind of sets people off, is that negative reaction. Sometimes, obviously, not always.
And also, especially, like, nowadays with, like, such younger kids, like, committing suicide. like,
it's awful. It's horrible. It's awful.
Because they are put in such a harder position nowadays. Like, they're literally born to see what the perfect person already is at such a young age. Like, they're already like, this is the perfect person. There you go.
Well, it's next, social media.
Yeah,
it is. It's the bullying.
Yeah.
The bullying has gotten so aggressive. Because I know that when we were younger, I have never, ever, ever heard anyone tell someone to kill themselves.
No. I've
heard them say, like, horrible things about, like, their family and their body image or whatever. Yeah. But no one ever went to that extent. Mm-hmm. Ever. And
to actually
media,
say, like, kill yourself.
Right.
Like,
and social media is such a big part of it. It's such a... That's sorry.
The dog... Pardon me. The dogs are trying to come in, and they're, like, scratching on the door.
That was horrifying.
Like, what is it? Red like, rum.
What?
Like, The Shining. The Shining. That's what it's called.
Red rum. Yeah. Red rum. I love that movie.
That's what it looked like. But I know it's just, and also I recently did like a mental health first aid course, which was awesome because now it's like I'm able to do it at my workplace, like help anybody if they need it. I'm not going to like run and be like, how are you doing? Like, no, let me.
That's George, the thing coming over here.
Yeah. All right. Wait, can we talk about that? Okay. Do you analyze like everybody or no? Okay.
No.
Because. Well, yeah, because you could shut it off.
Yeah, like when I'm away from work.
You're away.
I mean, it's going to happen sometimes. Like, I will find myself in, like, the grocery store.
Yeah.
Just, like, not judging, but just watching.
Yeah.
But other than that, when I'm away, you need to take a break.
Yes.
And that's with any occupation.
Yeah.
Like, you need to go home
and
implement your self-care because that is so important and just turn it off.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to get so consumed with everything, with all the cases that you're dealing with or whatever your profession may be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot.
I do it a lot, but that's not my occupation, of course.
You analyze?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's dangerous.
Like, it depends. Like, with my boyfriend, I'm not the best.
You're like,
I'm like, you did this because you did this, this, and this 5 years ago. And he was like, Jack, I didn't put a sock away. Like, it's
no,
not
or like,
that serious.
If, like, my sister's telling me a story, or like, if my friend's telling me a story about some guy she's with, and like, he's acting or something, I was like, okay, and then I asked questions, and I was like, oh, you're analyzing too much, you're already figuring it all out. I was like, shut it off. I can't, I'm sorry,
It's hard not to, though.
Yeah, it is. And, like, I enjoy it, I think it's because it's not my occupation.
That's probably
like, I'm like, oh, this is fun, like, to actually, like, know. But it's, like, it's good to, I guess, have that, but I don't know.
It gives you a different perspective.
Yeah, it does.
But
and
it's
also to, like, look at somebody and... give them the benefit of the doubt, too. Like, sometimes if people are very aggressive or they're, like, they're showing signs of different things, you could kind of be
different.
Like, okay, well...
It helps you understand
it puts me in their shoes, almost.
But I do want to point out, though, that especially with counselors or anyone with an LAC or an LPC, really any type of mental health professional, you don't sit in the session and they don't stare at you and try and analyze your entire being and everything that you've done and this and that. Like, they, especially with LPCs or LACs, they're gonna follow you.
Yeah,
they're not gonna try and open up this big, huge, hidden secret if you're not ready.
Yes,
like
if
your therapist tries for you to conquer that when you sincerely are not ready. Go find somebody else.
Somebody else, yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's also a very, like, with finding a therapist, you have to find the right one.
Yeah.
Because some, for me personally, I need a therapist to tell me to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And that you're doing shit wrong.
Yeah.
Or just say, no, you're right, yeah. But I need someone that's real, you know? And. Yeah.
But that's important to know.
Yeah.
Because.
You don't just want someone there just like, okay.
Right, writing stuff down.
Yeah,
and
like
really
that's,
listening.
Yeah. Like, I feel like someone, for me, a therapist is someone who engages.
Yeah.
And is, like, trying to help.
Yeah.
With the issue.
Yeah, they facilitate the session, and they help you work through the problem. But it's important to know that your therapist could be the most experienced, sweet, empathetic, active listener on the face of this planet, and you just might not click with them. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's more than okay. That doesn't mean anything bad about you or about the therapist. It's just not the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And until you, like, build that therapeutic alliance.
And you need to do that. You need to build that up and say, well, if this therapist isn't good, let me try someone else. It's,
you just keep
it's
trying.
Not a bad thing. It's just like with doctors. If your doctor isn't helping you,
right, it's literally go get the same a new thing.
Yeah, it's like that. All right, we're gonna go through questions that I got from some fans on Instagram.
Fans.
So
I love it.
All right, so I said, ask me a question that you have regarding mental health, and I posted that on my Instagram on Social Blend Pod. And so we got a few questions back, and so we'll start with the first one. And they're all anonymous. I'm not saying the names, of course. I would never do that. The first one is, what are ways to treat mental health rather than medication?
So the first one being is that therapy is always an option.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone should be in therapy. I mean, I've seen a therapist before. I've seen one multiple times.
I'm in the process of looking for a therapist.
I sincerely believe that everyone, you go through something at some point, and you're not always going to know how to deal with it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
So therapy is a very big one. Another one is any type of mindfulness activity, anything that can help and bring you into the present moment.
Whatever. Yoga, working out, dancing, a hobby.
Right. You want
a podcast.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Please subscribe and give us 5 stars.
Give us 5 stars and a nice rating.
like coping.
Yeah.
You gotta find what your coping skills are and what is gonna help you the best. Because my coping skill might not be the same as George's coping skills. So whereas working out or, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I do for self-care. I'm not the
I best do yoga
at it.
Like once. Like once, and that's enough.
No, but I do
like Pilates, yoga. Like that's it. And it's such a beautiful. Oh my, when I'm done, I was like, I am an angel.
I am
perfect.
Leave me alone.
This like
for you though.
No, even this, it's something I enjoy. And that's why I told myself when I started this, I was like, until you don't, when you don't like it and when you feel like it's a hassle is when it's over. Like
that's
you're
good.
Ending this and that's it, because I don't want to put myself in something that I don't want to do anymore. But yeah, that's definitely good though. You have to find something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, if your parents are causing your mental health and you can't do anything about it, what should you do?
Okay. So, this question I can relate to when I was in high school. As you know, my parents were going through the process of separating. So, it's very hard when you don't have the means to move out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the means to really, quote unquote, like get away from the problem. Times like this, I found that the thing that helped me the most was my friends, because I was very candid with them whenever there was something really wrong, especially with your parents. Like, and if they're arguing a lot, you might fall into the pattern of, oh, well, I don't want to tell George how I'm feeling because I just told him like 3 days in a row that, you know, this happened and they don't want to listen to me. Always open up and talk to your friends, because that's going to be the most supportive thing for you at that moment. And also get yourself out of the house and be with those people. Like Alchemist, the drama club, helped me more than anything.
Yeah.
Because I got to get out of the house.
Because it was a way to escape.
Right. It was a different way to express how I felt in a way that I couldn't even begin to imagine. So find, you know, surround yourself with your friends, really try and get a hobby.
Yeah.
But also, if you are able to talk to them about it, talk to them about it. It might, they might not be receptive.
Parents.
Yes, your parents. It might not be receptive, but talk to them.
Mm-hmm. you never know what will happen. They might be very open and be like, okay, like,
right,
you know.
Right. And, you know, even just saying, you know, mom and dad, like, I've really been struggling with everything that's been going on in the house lately. Can we talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really not feeling too good right now. I really want to talk about it. And not everyone is able to do that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But building up the skills to get there is really important.
All right. Next one is, how do I focus on myself instead of what other people think of me?
How do you focus on yourself instead of what other people think of you?
Honestly, I really think this is not something that just happens in a day. This is something that you practice. It's something that you build. And honestly, with this question, it's like the only person that will know
mm-hmm.
is kind of yourself.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
This links to insecurities mm-hmm. too. Like, everybody has it. Yeah. Everybody still struggles with it. It doesn't matter if, you know, you're past it. It's still always like
it's still
around.
There.
It's yeah. still there. But yeah, if anything, it's all within yourself. Take what you feel like people are looking at you about, and if you want to change it, change it. If you don't, stay you and
right. But you don't need worry. To make the change for yourself.
It's all yeah, and it all begins with you.
Yeah, so, self affirmations. Yeah. Wake mm-hmm. up in the morning, write something on your mirror. Mm-hmm. Like I'm yeah. beautiful. I'm great. I'm gonna do.
No,
great
I used
today.
To tell. I used to look yeah. in the mirror and say like, "You are beautiful. You are amazing. You're a thick bitch." Not that. No joke. I just said, "I'm going to school, mom. Bye."
Oh no, but my those God. Are those can.
No, but that really helped
way.
Because I made myself so conceited that now I think I'm like the best person ever. I'm like, oh, you did too much. Now you gotta like calm it. You gotta humble yourself. Yeah.
Get down.
Next, do you think men get judged more when it comes to mental health issues?
Yes,
110%.
Yes.
Not saying that women don't either, but women, I feel like women have more of a understanding of yeah. it, and they could all go to each other. Men, it's very like if you go to one of your guy friends and be like, "Yo, I haven't been feeling myself," they're gonna say, "Fuck out of here!" Like, mm-hmm. all right, like it's not like, "Oh, really, man? How you feel?" I mean, right. I feel like nowadays we're kind of building.
Yeah, we're getting
like for
closer.
Our generation, we're getting closer to that, and that's all I want. I just want the next generation that comes to be able to talk to their parents and
yeah.
be able to be comfortable.
I think we're definitely getting somewhere with
we
the
are.
Stigma, especially
we really
with
are.
Men.
Yeah.
I see a lot more men coming
yes.
forward. And actually, studies show that men actually complete therapy
mm-hmm.
more than women do.
Yeah.
Like they complete the entire process
yeah.
of therapy.
I feel like they don't realize how much they actually needed it.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
It's like,
but it definitely, men are always on like the pedestal for that.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be.
yeah.
Your
I know.
Problems
should all be.
Matter
exactly.
Just as much.
Exactly. All right. Next. How do you feel about self-diagnosis?
It's don't do it. It's toxic.
It is.
However, if you believe and you're not seeing a mental health professional, if you believe that you sincerely are going through something, or if you know the criteria of the diagnosis and it's really affecting you, go and obviously get the help that you need.
Mm-hmm.
But do not give yourself a diagnosis without seeing a professional.
Yes.
Because we overanalyze everything.
Exactly.
I have
yeah.
diagnosed myself with like 80 different things. And you can't.
I
you
know,
can't.
You can't. No, I would diagnose myself. I would take tests, quizzes.
Right, I would too. I would be
and
like,
and it would be like,
is
you are bipolar, schizophrenic. And I was like, holy fuck.
Right.
Like, what?
Right.
Like, oh my gosh. Like, and just get myself in a panic. And it's like, you don't, like, yeah.
No.
Just
don't do it.
It.
And it's easy to fall into. It
yeah.
is, but
and
like
really
I
get
said,
like wrapped up around
right.
it because it might really not be the case.
Right. But if it's affecting you, definitely go and get help. And you
oh,
can
yeah,
even tell that professional, like, I literally
self-diagnose myself.
I think I have this, and this. And
yeah.
they're going to ask you, okay, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. Let's
yeah.
go through some of the symptoms that you're feeling.
All right, last one is, how do you handle your anxiety?
So, self-care.
Yes.
Like I said, I am not the best at actually doing something for myself, but with anxiety, self-care has really helped me. There's a lot of different things you can do for your self-care. If it's anxiety in the moment, I have found that sometimes stress balls are pretty effective depending on the situation. Deep breathing,
yes,
exercises are very beneficial.
Can I tell you what I do?
What?
Whenever I'm like filled with anxiety and I just can't, I fake smoke. I go like,
and that helps you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I fake it because like that's what smoking is. It's just inhaling and just exhaling.
Yeah.
And it's just deep breath. And actually I learned it from yoga. And I kind of was just like, holy shit, let me, like, fake smoke.
No, but
like,
you know what? If it helps,
and then
it
makes
helps.
It, like, fun. Like, I don't know. Like, that's the way I cope with it. For me, it's just breathing and just, like, talking myself down. And I'm just kind of like, you know, oh, that's, you know, that's a nice golden lamp with a green top. And just, like.
That's good though. It's like it's grounding. Like if you've ever heard of the grounding technique, the
grounding,
5-4-3-2-1.
Yeah,
that's something that is really effective for a lot of people actually.
Yeah.
Just again, it's bringing yourself to the present moment and realizing that you may not be in control of the situation, but you are in control of your emotions, even if it might not feel like it, because that's what anxiety is. It's it's the feeling of not being in control, and just reminding yourself that, okay, I'm here, I'm in my room. I say like I'm having anxiety over a test. I am in control of studying for my test. Again, not every situation is going to give you that control, but just telling yourself that I can control how I'm feeling might help you out.
I just love talking about it.
I know.
All right. I do a quote of the week every week. And this quote of the week is, let whatever think whatever.
Oh, I
and
like
it's from
that.
Unknown. And I loved it.
I really like that.
It really spoke to me.
It spoke to me too. I like that.
So, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
You.
I love you so much. Thank you for doing this.
You.
And for talking about all of this, and
we've come
a
long
way. This helps. I know we really have. I know to look at us and think we would be preaching this.
You
I can't believe. All right. anyway, next week's episode is going to be a Halloween episode. I don't know who I'm having on, but we'll see once that time comes. Also, I'm going to Cancun, I'm going to Mexico this weekend, and I know. And the chief of the of the Cancun police was just beheaded. So wish me luck, everybody.
George.
I'm so nervous. Wish me luck. All right, bye.
Bye.